Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
There are some messages that are so exciting. There's some messages that are like, I would almost say, this is my favorite one. I can't wait to tell you guys this message. And then there's some that are not. This is one that is not. Jesus brought a sermon, and he did it in the best church in the world. It was on a hillside, and there was multitudes following him, and he sat down on the hillside. What a church, what a church. He sat down on the hillside, and they gathered around, and the multitudes gathered around him, and he gave a sermon. I can't give the whole sermon because you guys would miss Swiss Chalet. So I can only give you a piece. I can only give you parts of what he said. And so imagine that we're on the hillside with him. And we're hearing these words for the very first time. And I wonder how many of us would actually stay on the hillside. I think some of us might be tempted to run for the hills. Because it's not the way we think, it's not the way we move. Jesus' ways are not our ways. And it's shocking to us what he says. It's familiar to us because we've read it many times, but maybe we could read it for the first time like we've never heard it before this morning. And we can hear from him out of Matthew. I want to start in Matthew. The Sermon on the Mount, y'all know the Sermon on the Mount. Pastor, why would you be so hesitant to preach the Sermon on the Mount? Well, you're going to see. So I'm going to start in Matthew 5, 38. And he gave them this whole sermon in one shot. And I'm going to break it up a little bit for you so it's not so hard. So Jesus says to the people who are gathered around him, you have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. We all think that, right? Punishment must match the crime. Your kids do something wrong, it's got to be a consequence that's equal to their stupidity. So it says in the law, an eye for an eye, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for tooth. In fact, it says a hand for a hand, a foot for a foot, a bruise for a bruise, a wound for a wound. You wound me, I'm going to wound you. You step on my foot, I'm going to step on your foot. That was what the law says. And then Jesus says these three words, but I say. So he says, first of all, he says, sorry, we're just going to let Kat, you okay, sweetie? We're just going to, let's just pause for a minute and just pray for Katarina. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for our sister Katarina. Lord, just be with her right now. Just touch her. Stretch out your hand with healing power and touch Katarina and heal her now in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Our hearts are united around this beautiful young sister. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless her. So Jesus says, but I say. So he's got a different way of going. And what he says to us, do not resist an evil person. Well, the first thing that we want to do is when an evil person stands up in front of us, we want to resist him. And he says, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. See how tough this is going to be this morning? Aren't you glad you're here in church this morning? All the Lord's people said, amen. Okay, so when somebody slaps me on the cheek, I got to tell you, I'm confessing to you right now. This is my confession to you. My first thought is not, oh, here, would you like this one? That's not my first thought. Am I the only one on there today? Anybody else going, oh, wow. Yeah, right? I can't believe I just did that. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other also. If you're sued in court, okay, so somebody takes you to court and they sue you. And essentially what this says, and they take. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, they got everything, man. They got everything that you got, and they even got your shirt. What are you supposed to do? Give them your coat too. Just take, you know, you may as well just take my coat. Hope it fits y'all. Right? Word of God. On the hillside. And they know the law, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, foot for foot. Some of you want to bolt out of here right now? I'll lead you out. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear, so if you are under the authority of a soldier, likely your country has been conquered, and this soldier is now in charge of you, and he's telling you what to do. So if a soldier says, carry his gear for a mile, he says, you're going to carry my gear for me for a mile. What's your first instinct? How about this? How about somebody carry your own gear? Huh? Not alone. I know I'm not alone. There's one of you at least. One of you. Carry your own darn gear. No, Jesus says, but I say, just carry it 2 miles. This isn't an easy preach. Because some of us are going, no. Does no not rise up in you? No rises up in me. No is rising up all over me. Don't carry your gear. Give to those who ask and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. And I'm reading this and I'm getting all up. I'm thinking, God, I don't think I can offer my other cheek after somebody smacks me. But you know, then I think about if somebody's got everything that they've taken everything from me, I can be angry and bitter and resentful, or I can just say, here, have it all. There's no fight there. I'm out of the boxing ring. And do you see the wisdom? Do you see the wisdom in getting out of the fight? So who's, if a soldier says to you, carry my gear for a mile, and you start, I'm not carrying your gear. Now that you're in a power struggle. So I'm talking, this could be marriage, this could be your kid, this could be anything. You're in a power struggle, and I'm not going to do that, and yeah, you're going to do that. But the wisdom, and yeah, I got that, there is no power, they have no power over you. You have disarmed the power over top of you. There's no power struggle, you're not in it anymore. There is such wisdom in that. Fine, I'll carry. What's he going to do? What can he say? What power has he got? You're just going along, I'm carrying the gear. Maybe while you're carrying the gear, you can whistle a happy tune. Maybe you can chat about him, ask him how his day is. Suddenly the climate changes. You can enter into a power struggle with your spouse. You can enter into a power struggle with people at work. Or you can just say, you know what? I'm just, yes, whatever. And we think, oh, that's so weak. You know what it is? It's strong. Do you know how strong it is to say that? It gives you, it's strength. Well, you've heard the law, so here, now he's got these people, and they're all sitting on the hillside, and what is he quoting to them? He's quoting to them the law. He's telling them what they know. They know this stuff. Well, you've heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your... Love your neighbor. You know, in the Old Testament, where it says, love your Israelite neighbor. Love your brother. And hate your enemy. That all makes sense to us, doesn't it? Oh, love your brother, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say, Jesus has a different way of going in the world. He says, love your enemies. Anything rising up in you, or y'all going, okay, sure, I'll be all over that. You know what's really crazy? While I'm standing up here preaching, I'm looking at following Jesus together. And there's a part of me that... Okay, where are y'all taking me, Lord? You're taking me into foreign, this is foreign territory. Because it's really hard for us to love our enemies. Following Jesus together. Pray for those who persecute. You ever been persecuted? Ever had somebody who, maybe they just don't like you. And you don't know why they don't like you. You can't think of one reason why they don't like you, but they don't like you. You know what it is so easy to like people who, you know, when you like me, I really like you back. When you love me, I love you so much back. But when you hate me, following Jesus together. He says, pray for those who persecute you. Yeah, I've been praying for you. I pray they get hit by a bus. That's so bad. That is so bad. I would never do that. But sometimes our prayers kind of go like that. In that way, you'll be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. That's how we act when we pray for our enemies and pray for those who hate and persecute us. Then we're really children of God, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. And if you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? That's easy. Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you're kind only to your friends, that's most of us, you're only kind to our friends, right? How are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that, even non-believers, even they do that. But you are to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Wow, following Jesus together. Okay, so we first of all have to just hit the pause button here for a minute. How can I be perfect? Well, here's news for you. I got news for you. Anybody here tried to be perfect? How's that working for you? Who is our righteousness? Jesus. Yeah, come on. Who is our righteousness?
Jesus.
Yes, thank you. That was weak, but better than nothing. So I have no righteousness of my own. In and of myself, zero, zero righteousness. He's my righteousness. So when I'm in him, whose righteousness? I'm righteous. Why? Because of me? No. Because of him? Yes. Our perfection. When we're in him, where do you want to be? I want to be in him. Can I be perfect on my own? Absolutely no chance. I've tried, can't make it 10 minutes. So we want to be in him because in him we are perfect. In him, when I'm tucked in behind Jesus, you know, he's got the robe and I'm just like, I hope it's big enough for me to fit y'all in there. And we're in behind him and God looks down from heaven and fortunately for us, he doesn't see you. He sees Jesus. And he's perfect, so then, and you're perfect. Because we're tucked away in him. He's our perfection. Oh, who's grateful that we have a Savior today? I am so grateful that he is my perfection and I'm in him. And then Jesus says, watch out. He says, these people, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others. For you will lose your reward from your Father in heaven. I'm just going to go out. I'm going to be so good. I'm just going to be good to people. I'm going to be showing off a little bit while I'm being good to people. And then everybody will look at me and say, oh, Pastor, you are so good. Well, there's my reward. I got the reward of man. But when I just do it, and I don't need to make a big show, when you give to someone in need, this is so good. Don't do it as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogue. Dee, 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 dee. Here comes Pastor. She's going to do some good over here. Look at her. She's bringing food to the hungry. Ooh, doo, doo, doo. And everybody's clapping. Oh, Pastor, you're so wonderful. So Jesus says, don't do that. Okay? So let's not be out there doing good so that we look good. Let's be out there doing good because our Father in heaven is good and he's filled us with goodness and we can't not do good. Right? Don't call attention to your acts of charity. I tell you the truth. They were received all the reward they'll ever get. When man claps for you and rewards, you've already got your reward. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Just do good. Do good. Do it quietly. Do it privately. Don't advertise it. Well, I'm on Facebook, and I'm telling everybody how wonderful I am. Clickety, clickety, click. Look what I did today. Nothing, no reward there, folks. Let's do our, you know, never mind. When you pray, there's some places I best not go. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in synagogues where everyone can see them. Oh, Heavenly Father. And we've got this really religious voice. Just look at everybody. Just everybody look at me and see how holy I am. I'm going to pray on the street. In fact, I might even kneel down on the road. I might even kneel down on the sidewalk so that everybody can see how holy I am. That's not the way Jesus is. He says, I tell you the truth. That's all the reward they're ever going to get. You're going to be out on the street. You're going to be looking real holy. You're going to be praying. And now other people, oh, look how holy you are. Holy, holy. You may now call me Holy Hooli. PB came up with a good one. What did he call me this week? Hallelujah. Something. Hallelujah. Ah, hallelujah. Here she comes. Hallelujah. I was telling them all about my names when I was involved in prison ministry. The Blackfoot chief came to me and he said, the Blackfoot have named you, and they have named you Oodawabagi. And that means holy woman. Yes. Thank you very much. Nailed it. And then the Cree tribe came to me and they said, we have also named you. And your name is Kimichi One, the crazy one. That's actually more fitting. That's the way we go. So, but when you pray, this is what Jesus said. Now they're sitting on the side of the mountain. And Jesus says, here's what you do. When you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. You know what? That's between you and him, right? Nobody else's business what you're doing, what you're saying. It's just you and him. You and him there together. And he knows. And he knows your needs. And nobody's standing, clapping it, and looking how holy you are. It's just you and Jesus. Then your Father who sees everything, he's going to reward you. That time in your prayer closet with just him and him, you're going to be rewarded for that time. When you pray, don't babble on. There's been the odd prayer meeting. Don't babble on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words over and over and over and over again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. He knows. We don't need to be babbling on. So we're just going to look at the prayer. So he says, this is how you pray. Pray like this. Now, I'm not going to follow that translation because I can't. So I'm going to follow the NIV. Our Father. You know what is exciting about our Father? The word is our. The word, that's an exciting word. It doesn't start off, my Father. Our Father. So as soon as I say our, you know who's there? You guys. I'm bringing you with me. When every single time that you say the Lord's Prayer, you're bringing us all with you. Our Father. And if we've got the same Father, you and I got the same Father, that makes us what? Brothers and sisters. We're related. We're family. You are stuck with me. Our Father, not my Father, our Father. Now I've told this every time I say this and Lisa hates it, but Lisa would say, our Father who aren't in heaven. Well, I know, but your Father who are in heaven. Yeah, it wasn't last week. Sorry, she finally figured it out. Took a while. Our Father who art in heaven. So it's very clear, it's not your earthly Father. It's very clear. It's the one who lives in heaven. It's our Father in heaven. Hallowed, holy, respected, set apart, honored be your name. This name, the name above all names. We sang it this morning. Thy kingdom come. That's what we're supposed to pray. God, we know that you're king. Your kingdom come here. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, not my will be done. Man, I live my life like I want my will be done, but God, thy will be done. You know, God knows better what I need than I know. He knows what you need. He knows what you need. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, God, bring heaven down. Just do it. Do it here like you do it there. Come on. That's going to be so much fun. Give us this day. Give us this day our daily bread. God, I'm just going to pray that you're going to provide my needs for today. I was talking to Kathy this morning. She said, wow, you know, I don't know how. She lost her bank card, lost lots of money out of her bank card. She said, you know what is the most amazing thing? There was money in my grocery account for groceries this week. Come on. God is the provider. He provided. We can't explain that. There should have been no money left. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Trespasses, such a good word. That means you're in the wrong place. You're on the wrong land. You put your foot somewhere where your foot ought to be. Shouldn't be. Don't put your foot there. So you have trespassed. You have gone somewhere where you shouldn't be. Forgive me, God, when I've gone somewhere that I shouldn't be. Ever gone somewhere you shouldn't be? I have gone somewhere where I shouldn't be, where I had no business going. Forgive me. Okay, so forgive us when I trespass. Forgive us our trespasses as we, this is really hard, as we forgive those who trespass against us. So I have to forgive people. Wow. forgive. As, that's what it says, isn't it? I can't change it around. As we forgive those, as we forgive, we better not have any unforgiveness. Let's just get there today, okay? Man, I'm holding just a piece of this or a piece of that. You, Pastor, you just don't know how bad it really is. Let's not hold on to any unforgiveness, because you've been forgiven much. You've been forgiven for everything you ever did that was ever wrong. You have been forgiven. And who are we to say, well, I'm not going to forgive you? You've been forgiven. I got nothing back. How can I not give what I've been given? We're going to forgive other people. And all Lord's people said, yeah, but I say, right? Jesus says, but I say, lead us not into temptation. Lead us, God, lead us, but not, I don't want to go into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us out of evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. Oh, the power is his forever and ever. Amen. Now we can come back into the translation that I'm using now. So I'm in 6:14. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. I just want to walk forgiven. I don't want any of my stuff on me. I don't want any of my sins on me. It's too heavy. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. If you refuse, I'm not going to forgive them. Well, then there might be the on. Okay. Yeah. Man, are you still on the hill? Are you still on the side of the hill with Jesus? Or are you trying to make it a fast escape? And when you fast, it doesn't say if you fast, that's another horrible thing. When you fast, so the assumption is that we're going to fast as God's people, we fast. I came from a fasting family. My grandfather was years ahead of his time. He fasted, and it was not uncommon for 10, 15 days to have him on a fast. But he said, when you fast, don't make it obvious. Oh, yeah, I'm so weak. I've been fasting for 10 days. I don't know how I'm going to make it to prayer meeting tonight. When you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled. Oh, look at me, poor me. So people will admire them for their fasting. Whoa, look at you. You're so holy. You fasted for 10 days. My, my, my. Can I have your autograph? I tell you the truth. That is the only reward they'll ever get. So when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face, look normal, pick it up, walk at the normal pace, shoulders back, look at me. Then no one will notice that you're fasting except your Father, who knows what you do and where, private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. We don't need a big reward from the world. What we need is a reward from our Father in heaven, who sees how we behave in private. He sees how we behave. You know, our private behavior is a lot more important than our public behavior, isn't it? Because what's going on in our private lives is really important, because Father sees and Father knows. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths can eat them and rust destroy them, and where thieves break in and steal. So we spend a lot of our lives storing up treasures. Man, I want this, I want that. See that car, see this couch, that TV, this, that. The treasures, things here, earth. Store your treasures in heaven. How am I going to get my 90-inch TV into heaven, Lord? Well, you're not. It's not going with you. It's not going with you. It's going to remain in your home. I have a lot of things that are my treasures, and my kids look at them and go, are you kidding me right now? You think I want that couch? Are you out of your mind? Wasn't that the coffee table in great-grandfather's house? I actually have a spinning wheel in my living room. Oh, store your treasures in heaven. Okay, what are my treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy? You know, some of us have so many treasures, we have storage units for our treasures. We are now storing our treasures. And thieves don't break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there is the desires of your heart. Okay, so now we're talking about a different kind of treasure. What is, like really, truth, you got to think about this. What is the true desire of my heart? The right answer, there's a right answer. It's Jesus. The true treasure, The thing that I desire more than anything else is my relationship with Jesus, is salvation, is eternal life, is Jesus Christ. Store that up. That's what we store up in heaven. Oh, your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. If you were paying attention in science class, you know where the light hits, and it hits the something at the retina and goes somewhere and you can see. Praise the Lord. I've been healed. When you're, I was sitting behind my husband, my future husband, in science class. I don't remember anything. I could tell you everything about the back of that man's head. I swear I counted every hair. I know nothing about science. It was bad for us to be in the same class. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. That makes sense. But when your eye is bad, what are you looking at? What are you focused on? Is it full of light? Is it full of darkness? Where's your focus? And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. What if you think this is it? What if you got your eye on something in the world and you think this is it? Man, this is going to make me, if I had this thing, that's going to make me happy. And what if you think that's it? You're living in a special kind of darkness. That's a whole different kind of blindness. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot. If money is your God, money is your God. If God's your God, God's your God. Money's his. That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. And I just want to say most of us spend most of our days worried about everyday life. Who's still on the hill? Still on the hill. Jesus, one sermon on a hill, said it all, one day. Don't worry about whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. That's what we think about all the time. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store foods in barns, for their heavenly Father feeds them. He looks after them. He looks after them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? I hope so. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Okay, think about it. Where has all your worrying got you? Did it add anything? Did it add a minute? It didn't add anything. All it did was add a wrinkle right here. Right? It doesn't do any good. It doesn't add anything. So Jesus says, stop worrying about this stuff. Come to me. I'm the dad. Some of us didn't have a great dad, but we got a great dad now. We got a dad where we can go. We can go, hey, dad, I got some troubles. And then you know what he's going to do? He's going to figure it out. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. You see a lily in the field. Ooh, got to look beautiful today. Was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Are we going to trust him? Are we going to trust him to care for us? Are we going to worry and fuss and fret and stew? Those are questions seated on the hillside with our Lord and Savior as he's speaking to us. We have to figure this out. Why do you have so little faith? So he says, so don't worry about these things, saying, well, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. He already knows what you need. So let's just stick really close to him and talk to him about what we need. I need something. Oh, what should I do? I should talk to my father. Seek first. I can't do this translation either. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You seeking clothing? Are you seeking food? Are you seeking a car? Are you seeking a house? Or what are you seeking? He says, seek first. Before you start seeking everything, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all he's going to look after everything else. Is the scripture true or isn't it? It's true. It's the word of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We have to hold that scripture in our heart. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own trouble. How many, doesn't tomorrow have enough worries? What, boy, we get going to, I can be worried a year ahead. I can plan my worry out for a good long time. And God says, just stay in today. Just, tomorrow's got enough of its own. Today's trouble's enough for today, right? Just stay in today. We get going down that road. Do not judge others. Say, what? This is really good. Don't judge others and you won't be judged. Who likes to be judged? Nobody. Nobody. No hands go up. Mm-mm. Nobody wants to be judged. Mm-mm. Not by anybody. Mm-mm. So then don't judge other people. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. That makes me want to be really not judgy. Right? Don't you just all of a sudden don't want to be judgy at all? And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye? We've all heard this one. When you have a log in your own, isn't that good? He said, every log. Boy, you can spot a fault in other people a mile away. But you got this big old log sticking right out of your eyeball and you can't see it. You can't see it when you're brushing your teeth. But you can see the faults in others. How can you think of saying to your friend, here, let me help you get rid of that little speck in your eye when you can't see the past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. Jesus says that on the hill. He says that on the hill to all the multitudes that's gathered there that sit, and he's given this sermon. This is his, I'm just telling you what he said. And he looked out on those people, he said, well, you hypocrites. Whew. First, get the log, rid of the log in your own eye, and then you'll see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Isn't that good advice? That just makes sense. Deal with yourself. Get yourself all fixed up, hey? Maybe when, you know, maybe on the day that you're like perfection, then you can, you know. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They'll trample the pearls and then turn and attack you. Do you know there's a time? There is a time for us to speak wisdom into people's lives. There's a time when people are ready to hear about our Lord and Savior. And there's a time when people are not ready to hear about that. Don't be going and telling them your big wisdom all about Jesus when the time is not right. Keep on asking. This is hard. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. And I cannot speak this unless I speak, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What does it tell us to seek first? So what are we asking for? Jesus. Ask. You need Jesus? Ask him. I have a sign, and my kids bought me this sign. It's really cute. I was thinking of like putting it here. Y'all need Jesus, because that's what they hear. Y'all need Jesus. Ask and it will be given to you. What's going to be given to you? I'm asking for Jesus. First of all, I'm asking for Jesus. Ask, it'll be given to you. Seek. Who am I seeking? Seek first the kingdom of God. I'm seeking his kingdom. God, I'm asking for you, Jesus. I'm seeking your kingdom. I am knocking on heaven's door. Is that a song? Yeah, it is. It is a song. Knock, knock, knocking on, right? Huh? I won't sing it for you. Anyway, keep on knocking and the door will be open. What door? The door to Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God. I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm knocking. And if I seek him first, everything else is going to be added unto me. Doesn't that make my asking, seeking, and knocking really easy? For everyone who asks, you don't know what I did, you don't know, he does actually, he does know. Ask him to come into your life, he's going to come. Seek him, man, you're going through a tough time, seek him, you're going to find him. Oh, sometimes it feels like I got to knock a long time till he hears me. And you feel like that, I'm out there pounding, are you on a vacation right now? Because I'm still here. Everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door is going to be open. You're going to find Jesus. You're going to find Jesus. There is no one he's going to turn away. I don't care what you've done. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Come on, we're good to our kids, right? Man, our kid, we'll do anything for them. You know what he says? I'm going to do anything I can for you. Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Jesus, thank you. I'm just going to come. I'm just going to put myself before you. And then the golden rule, the thing. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. World peace. I have the answer to world peace. I know. Isn't it amazing? If only I could get this message out to the world. Here it is, folks. If we treated other people the way we would like to be treated, we would never hurt another human being because we don't want to be hurt. One sentence out of the mouth of Jesus Christ would bring peace to the world if the world would just believe him. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. World peace in Jesus' name. Thank you for the word of God. And so after that's only a portion of the message. Isn't that a lot for those people sitting on the side of the hill that day? That's just a portion of the message that Jesus brought them that day. That's a lot for us to think about, isn't it? And it's a lot for us to filter through our life and say, where am I in this? What are my words like? What's my behavior like? Am I judging others? Am I being kind? What is happening in my heart? So after I finished down to this portion and I just stopped there, Jesus offers us a better way. He has the best way for us to walk through this world. We can live fighting. You can actually live slapping that person back across the face. You can actually live. Do you want to live like that? Do you want to live in a fight? Some people live in a constant fight. Not looking at anybody in particular right now. Some people, their whole life is fighting. You're always fighting with somebody. Do you really want to spend your whole life like that? Or do you just want to stop? Just stop. So when the person whips out their hand and they slaps you across the face, take it like a man and give them the other cheek. You can live your whole life fighting. Or you can walk your whole life in the peace of Christ. Do I want to live fighting and struggling and hating my enemies? Hate is exhausting. Do you know how exhausting it is to hate people? Do you know how much energy it takes to hate people? It's going to make you tired. It'll make you tired. Jesus has a better way. Jesus has a better way. You can live your whole life hoping to be admired by people. You can live your whole life for the applause of man. What an exhausting way to live. Or we can have an inward life where we're seeking, where we're praying, where we're forgiving, where we're walking with him, where we're treasuring the kingdom, where we're not treasuring the things of this earth, we're treasuring the things of the kingdom of God. It's an easy way to move. It's a lot easier way than the other way. Foreign land, this message that Jesus, this sermon that Jesus brought on the hillside is foreign. It's foreign to us. And we, because it's not natural for us to do some of the things that he has said to do. Turn the other cheek and carry the gear the extra mile. That our human nature isn't there. It's a foreign land to the world, and sometimes it's a foreign land to us in the church. And it is good for us to be reminded. Is it good for us to be reminded that this is the way we are to be walking? It's good for me to be reminded that this way, this hillside, this place where Jesus taught is to be our homeland. This is where we're supposed to feel comfortable, in this way. I had someone that was, he was so excited he got a new Bible. And he said, oh, Pastor, I got this new Bible. Where should I start? Well, I gave the pastoral answer. And it's, well, you should start in the book of John. Because that's what pastors say. I start in the book of John. And then after I pastored for, I don't know, 10 or 15 years, I thought, I don't know, the book of Mark is pretty cool. It really moves fast. Really gets to the point. Really clear and really easy to understand. Well, Matthew's pretty awesome. Well, then there's Luke. He's like, wow. So this poor guy, I'm standing. I said, well, you could start in the book of John. Well, then, of course, there's Mark. I mean, Mark is really amazing. And then I said, but if you're really feeling down, just open the book of Psalms. And like he's, oh, okay. And we're flipping through, and I'm trying to show him where everything is. And then, you know, this week, I think I have a new answer. Why don't you just start in the Sermon on the Mount? Why don't you just, it's all in red in my Bible. Some of your Bibles have got all the Jesus words in red, real clear. This is what Jesus said. It's in red so that you can figure it out. I think, wow, maybe we should just, maybe for one whole year, we should just read the Sermon on the Mount. Because I think it's going to take us at least that long to get past the slapping on the face, carrying the gear, you know? Maybe it will. Maybe you guys are faster learners than I am. But you know what? You know what it's all about? It's all about us coming to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Why do I get up in the morning? What is the most important thing? The most important thing to me is that other people have what I've been given. That's what I want. For the guy next to me in the grocery store, I just want him to have Jesus so badly. Because why should I have him and that guy not have him? Why should people around this world not know Jesus? He is the treasure. Let's just stand together to close.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.